Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to invite you to join us at our next workshop coming up September 28th through the 30th in Pennsylvania in the beautiful Poconos along the Delaware River. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748, or visit gatewaymen.com. Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and we actually have on the line with us from just up the road from where we are here in San Antonio, we've got Gina Kay with us from Austin. So, Gina, thanks for being back on the program with us.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, in fact, I was just looking and realizing that it had been just over 2 years since we had had you on the program before, which is quite shocking to me. I guess, I don't know, maybe I've hit a certain, you know, season in life where time just flies by, but I feel like that wasn't 2 years ago already, was it? So it's amazing to me how fast time is going. But because you've been on here before, and maybe some of our longtime listeners are familiar with you from that previous broadcast that we did, I'd love for you to just kind of catch up our listeners on what's been happening in the last couple years in your life and in your work, and just kind of then we'll transition into some of what we wanted to talk about today, which is really about a really exciting event that's coming up a little bit later in September.
Sure, great. Well, what brought me back to Austin 5 years ago was that my life was impacted, having been in a marriage with someone that struggled with a pornography addiction and mental health issues and things that just went unresolved and unhealed, to the point where there was a tipping point and kind of a crisis. And I initiated a move back to Texas where my family had been. So over the last 5 years, I've been in this process of actually having to walk through a divorce and becoming a single mom of four kids and rebuilding a life after a very shattering event, and just accepting kind of, you know, what I was facing and the truth of kind of the way things were. So that led me into a desire to attend some conferences and trainings to learn more about porn addiction, betrayal, trauma, things like that, which then led me into desiring to work professionally as a in addiction treatment recovery. So 2 years ago, I think I was working for a company here in Austin. It's a sober living company where I got to support over 100 residents that moved to Austin to choose sober living. And then I went on to work for a residential treatment center that heals trauma and addictions. So that has been like a great strengthening, I guess, of my ability to be a resource and a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know that when we had you on here last time a couple years ago, it did feel to me like you were sort of launching, and kind of trying to figure out, okay, what lane are you going to be in? Because I remember you and I even had conversations about that in terms of like, hey, you know, what is sort of a speaking career look like? What does it look like in terms of maybe faith-based vocation? What does it look like from sort of a health standpoint? And I know that you were still trying to kind of feel out. And plus, when we think about it, you're having to do this as, like you said, navigating this very difficult personal road that you're on. Exactly. And let's be honest, No matter what we might say philosophically, we cannot separate our personal path from our vocational path, as much as we might like to, right? And I actually love the fact that you have leveraged, and I don't mean that in a negative way or some kind of seedy way, you've leveraged the realities of the things you've learned through your personal path to, I think, only enhance what you're seeking to do through your professional path. Would that be fair to say?
Definitely. And that's probably something we share in common, that not everybody is called to take a public stance on this or to step up and found an organization or do something. But in the same way that you did, I think I've just felt that tug to do something about it. And I think that's, you know, it's coming out of my grief and my experience and having opted for silence for such a long time and felt like I had been silenced, that the more I started learning and being validated that, no, this is real. And, you know, and so many others are struggling. Then I wanted to participate and take action. And you're right, like you said, it has been a journey and it's been full of twists and turns. And at times it's been confusing. I mean, there was a point in that 2 to 3 years ago where I was launching a nonprofit to help women that experienced betrayal trauma. And then for different reasons, it turned out, and through some consultation, I was encouraged to make a change. And now my website is GinaK.info, and it's still a work in progress, but it's me offering my services as an educator and a consultant and a trainer. And one of the things that I can offer now that I work in the behavioral health world is that I can be a bridge and bridge a gap between other communities like faith communities and bring this amazing science and health information and talk both languages, because we speak in different languages and we need helpers like me that can bridge the gap.
Yeah. And I love that. And to me, it's a little bit too bad that we have made those things almost seem as if they're mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, you know, for those, I really actually believe for those of us who are in faith communities that really understand the connection between faith and the natural world, we don't pit faith and science against one another. We actually say, boy, they're very integrated. They're very congruent. Right. But yet, when you speak to the culture at large, many see that, see these differences and see that they're almost incompatible with one another. I don't want to take for granted one thing. I realize we just kind of jumped into this conversation, and I want to let our listeners know, for those of you who are maybe newer to our program and you're going, okay, so you say that we should know this Gina person if we've been part of the program. If you do want to kind of get to know, from the first broadcast that we did together, jump back into our archives at puresexradio.com and go to the July 2016 archives. And that's actually when we have our first interview that we did with Gina. So you guys can catch up and get to know, because we're not going to spend a lot of time in this podcast talking about Gina's story and all those kinds of things. So you can jump back into that. Because Gina, what I would love to do is I'd like to kind of dive into sort of where you are now. What's the work that you're doing now? And then also mention, you know, start talking about this big event that's coming up in on September 14th.
Sure. Well, my work now is doing business development and outreach, working with different organizations that promote treatment and recovery for addiction, trauma, and abuse. I mean, there really are a lot of intersections between those issues and underlying issues sometimes that drive things like addiction, and understanding that's really important. So I have the honor being connected to amazing professionals across the country. And that's part of what my job is to do, is to build trusted relationships and to network and to learn, you know, to tour treatment centers, to understand, you know, what does it look like to recover and to invite people into recovery. I mean, even currently this week, I'm in the process of a family recovery coaching certification, because the industry that I work in is aware of the fact, we talk about this being a family system issue, and that there's family members that need support and services as much as the ones struggling with an addiction issue. And so we're trying to figure out, like, how do we build up advocates and supports for the family members? And mm-hmm. so I'm getting trained to do that. I have these specializations that do stem from my lived experience. Because as you said, I mean, we all come to the work that we do for a reason. And I come to this with certain lived experience, and that is of value. But that, you know, it's not what colors, you know, everything. I'm not just coming out of this because of my story. I mean, I'm passionate about health education and prevention, mm-hmm. but the things that I have lived experience with are, you know, having had a front row seat to someone whose drug of choice was internet porn, I have learned a lot. And I know what I know about seeking services for betrayal trauma as a partner. And in my story, I experienced spiritual abuse and narcissistic abuse. And so anything that touches on those topics in particular, I'm especially interested in speaking on, helping others with, and that kind of thing. So because I talk openly, people have learned this about me. And one of the things that came my way a little over a year ago was that one of my colleagues, Shane Adamson, who's in Dallas, Texas, and he's a CSAT, a certified sex addiction therapist. He founded what's called the Lone Star Coalition Against Pornography to do some activism and education on this public health issue of pornography addiction. And he came to me and said, you know, we've done this conference 3 years in Dallas. What do you think about chairing the next Lone Star Coalition Against Pornography and bringing it to Austin? And I said, yes.
Yeah. So let's back up just a little bit, because you said something that I think probably maybe perked the ears of some of our listeners, especially if they're part of those family systems, those family relationships that end up being on the receiving end of some of that betrayal behavior that happens. And not to go too deeply into this, but you mentioned three things that I think are serious issues regarding this. One is the internet pornography and how that is an abusive kind of thing in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You mentioned spiritual abuse, and then you also mentioned narcissistic abuse. Can you just briefly touch on that and offer maybe some encouragement to any of our listeners that they feel like, wait a second, that sounds like some stuff that I'm dealing with. And then maybe talk about how that connects to the work you're doing in how do you come alongside professionals that are working in the space of addiction recovery and help those individuals in relationship to they're connected to somebody who's dealing with internet pornography, they're connected to somebody who's maybe spiritually abusing them, or they're connected to somebody that's, you know, a narcissist. Not saying that those are always contained in every single individual, but they might be touching on those issues.
Sure. Great questions. I like your questions. For me, like, part of why I do what I do is that I want to save other people time, money, unnecessary grief, agony, all of that. Because one of the things that in my journey was that it took way too long to get the language and the terms to properly identify what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And knowledge is power. I mean, just having the right label of knowing that, you know, that pornography can show up and cross a line into addiction can help make sense of what someone's experiencing. Now, it's not, you know, just because someone looks at pornography and consumes it, because the truth is all of us have a porn story, you know, have seen it. It's just so accessible.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's even why culturally we're asking these questions of, you know, people are confused, like, is this a problem? And not always for everybody, but the truth is it can go into a realm where there are issues that start showing similarities of alcoholism or drug addiction or that kind of thing. And so using the language of addiction is powerful. And if that's the nature of what's happening in a family system, it's important to properly identify it. Same with abuse. You know, like you said, it did. I mean, honestly, when I learned and identified spiritual abuse in my own life was when I was at a professional conference about 4 years ago. And the professional conference was on the issue of sexual addictions, but one of the breakout sessions was titled Spiritual Abuse. And it perked my interest. And I was like, I want to go hear what this is about. And the whole time, light bulbs were going off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes sense of some of the things I encountered when I was trying to navigate this very real experience of pornography addiction in my marriage and turning to faith leaders and experiencing them admonish me with scripture in a way that what I discovered was spiritual abuse. Yeah. And it got pretty heavy handed as I walked through a separation and divorce, as far as the using scripture and spiritual authority to try to control and manipulate my choices. And that's been life changing, you know, because then that helped me find the help I needed to know what I was dealing with.
Well, and I think some of the things you're saying are so critical to understand, because I think when we understand what education is really about, even from, you know, a faith perspective, we recognize that these labels or these names are not for the purpose of stigmatizing,
right,
but they're for the purpose of being able to treat.
And yes.
So it's the difference between labeling to shame.
Exactly.
And labeling to diagnose in order for getting the proper kind of treatment and the proper response to that. And that's where I think this education is so important, because so many times what ends up happening, as soon as you say, oh, that's sexual addiction, we are so used to labels stigmatizing in our culture that we don't realize that, no, think of it from the standpoint of health or even medicine. When you go into your doctor and he says, okay, so you actually have that mole has melanoma. Oh, don't shame me. You don't have that reaction to say this doctor is trying to stigmatize me or shame me because of what he's labeled as far as what the diagnosis is of my problem. He's actually there, he or she is there to try to help, to say, if we don't get a proper name on this, we can't properly treat you.
Exactly.
And so why don't you speak to that a little bit in terms of what the Lone Star Coalition Against Pornography is seeking to do in these events and the various kinds of resources from that standpoint, and how that's so beneficial to the people who are actually needing the help, versus what we have typically seen happen is people think, don't label me from a stigmatization standpoint versus a treatment perspective.
I'm so glad you brought that up, and especially those medical examples, because we don't think twice about, taking our symptoms to a doctor and needing that explanation and needing that knowledge, like you said. And if it's cancer, you know, then we're so relieved to at least know why we've had the symptoms we've had, and then we go seek that specialized help and know the value of these specialists. And so, like you said, I mean, I feel sensitive sometimes about talking about these labels, because I don't want to shame anyone. And I know, right, as I tell my story, it brings up, you know, people know me, they know the people that I'm talking about sometimes, and it's not meant to shame. It's just, there's something powerful about, speaking our truth and just dealing with things. That's 101 of recovery, is that freedom. When we say, you know what, I'm not hiding anymore. This is my truth and I need help. And so that's the spirit of the Lone Star Coalition Against Pornography, is to say, you know what, we're listening. I mean, there's a national conversation there are national organizations speaking on these issues. We've got, I mean, Time Magazine had the word porn across its cover 2 years ago.
Right.
And they were interviewing people. We have Hollywood actors and actresses that are speaking up against this, and not against it, but sharing their story and saying, I'm not going to be bound by the shame anymore. And so we're joining a national conversation as Texans, and we're inviting Texans to change how we talk about porn. And the biggest thing that we're changing is that we're talking about it. We're saying, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to provide a venue for individuals to come and to hear about the science, about the, be introduced to some of the people that are doing things, to hear the stories of how this is impacting individuals, relationships, and families. Because some people, haven't encountered that yet. So those of us that have seen the wreckage, that have heard the stories, we want to illuminate that. We want to help, be like, you know what, this is important information. And with any choice that we make in life, it's best to make an informed decision. So yeah. We at least want to influence people's thoughts of like, I want people to be informed that just like we do with food, like if you go to McDonald's every day, it's a super stimulus. It's going to affect your body in certain ways. Same thing with porn. It's a super stimulus that will affect your body in certain ways.
So there you have it, folks. Gina has equated pornography with McDonald's. Yeah. All right. That's on you, Gina, not on me.
Okay, I'll do something with that.
Yeah. No, but back to the issue of diagnosis, too. I think when we're able to get really proper, specific language regarding a diagnosis, we also recognize, even from a medical standpoint, that diagnosis does not mean that language must permanently label you. So, for instance, I go to my doctor because I don't know if I got a cold or I got the flu. I feel bad. When the doctor says it's the flu, I don't go, I'm permanently labeled a flu carrier.
Right.
It's like, no, we now know right now what needs to be addressed. And as we treat that, we expect that change can happen, which therefore that label doesn't have to stick. So for instance, when I stepped into recovery because I did have a full-blown sexual addiction, I sit before you now, 19 years later, not somebody as one who carries the current right now label of addict. Because I actually believe that I have actually been set free. I don't operate in the same way as an addict.
Right.
Does that make sense? So I feel like one of the pieces of education, too, is recognizing the fluidity to some of these labels that, again, are not meant to shame or stigmatize, but are meant to diagnose for the time and the season that the treatment is necessary.
Yes.
And I think that's helpful too. And so I'm sure you see that a lot, even as you deal with a lot of health professionals and counselors and people in the medical field and even research, recognizing that we're trying to do this in a way that is helpful for movement in a positive direction, not so that we can say, boom, I've placed a label on your forehead, Gina, and you are permanently and always whatever you are currently experiencing.
Right.
And so how is this event, let's dive into a little bit of the practicality of this event. What's going to be going on in this event on September 14th to help people? And who are the people that you're wanting to see, fill this space? Who's the audience that you're really trying to reach?
Great. Well, I'm going to talk about the event. Let me just make one prior comment, though, what you were saying about the opportunity really to join recovery movement. Like, to me, all of this opens the door to anyone for an invitation to recovery. And in my line of work, we talk about persons in recovery. And I identify that way now too. A lot of times that's been reserved for people that are fighting alcohol or drug addiction. They say, I'm a person in recovery. But any of us that are, recovering from something, and we all experience trauma in life, if nothing else, and most of us experience some kind of addiction or abuse. But that's the beauty, is that there is this thing called recovery, and there are some actual entities and therapies and support groups and things that are offered for recovery. I mean, even learning to use fitness as a form of recovery. I mean, there's so many things that it's just, again, a language issue, but it is an invitation into a lifelong journey to learn how to cope in healthy ways.
Right.
And to learn how to feel our feelings and not run from things and not medicate with unhealthy things. So that's the big door that we enter into. And so even in doing a conference like this one, it is an opportunity for individuals to be introduced into this world of treatment and recovery. And you're right. Like, the last thing we want is for anyone to feel like they're taking on a negative label, but more that it is a form of learning and being educated and being connected to proper specialists if that help is needed. And then that invitation into a lifelong journey of like, there's so many great resources. And that's the thing that I love about my work is I get to learn about these resources and it makes me excited. Like I'm excited and passionate about what I've learned. And it's things that I'm like, oh my gosh, the public needs to know about this.
Right. Yeah. So what's going to be happening at the event? And is this something, because I can imagine some of our listeners are going, oh, so this is really just for professionals, like vocational professionals, this event. But who are you really hoping to reach, or who is allowed or invited to this event?
Well, we have a venue at a UT campus in North Austin that can hold a little over 300 people. I want a full house, and I want an audience that is a mix of representatives from all segments of the population. Because the truth is, this issue is affecting all kinds of individuals. I want to see young adults there, and we're actually going to include some millennials on our panel and then in a breakout session over lunch, because we want to talk to them. We want faith leaders there, because individuals tend to turn to faith leaders sometimes in their times of need, whether they're religious or not.
Right.
Because they're free and they're trusted resources. And so faith leaders are seeing this issue. They're hearing about it. We want them there. We want school administrators. We want lawyers. There's so many divorce lawyers that keep saying, I keep hearing more about this issue in relation to divorce. Parents, that's a big one. And even for myself, I'm raising the next generation, and knowing what I know now as an adult woman, that's part of what motivates me, is I'm like, I can't put my head in the sand. I want to be informed so that I can best help my kids navigate this digital world. And so it's an open invitation to everyone.
I'd almost say, as a little sidebar on the parenting thing, I think that's like that's probably the most vital vocation anyone could have, in terms of when you think about the kinds of, if you want to talk about education and training, mm-hmm. that lasts a lifetime, either for good or for bad, it's parenting. Like, that's one of the things that always sobers me up. I get very sober-minded when I think about the impact that my wife and I get to have on our kids. It's like, that is a profound job. And so I was about to say, so you're saying that professional moms and dads are invited to this event?
I am saying that, definitely. In fact, if I could talk for a minute about our team.
Yeah.
Because we have a team of 8 to 10 people that came together, that we've been doing a planning committee for the last year, gearing up for this conference. And it's made up of a variety of people. And one of the members of our team is a mom. She's pregnant with her 9th child. And she's what we call her a tiger mom, because as she learned about the realities of pornography, she just became passionate about, like, oh my gosh, we need to know about this. And our mm-hmm. kids are facing this, and I need to talk to my children about it. And she's helped bring Fight the New Drug into schools for school assemblies up in Dallas. And she just comes at this with that passion of, this is something we can do to help our kids. And then we have a therapist on our team who, she came at this as she was just doing, general marriage and family therapy, and she kept having couples come in and talk about the porn and sexual addictions, to the point where she set out to get further education and training as a therapist, just because it was showing up in our practice. And now, to the point where she's joined our team to help. We have people that have been touched by this personally in their marriage, somebody who it was his parents that had their marriage broke up over this, and that's mm-hmm. what brought him to the team. So people show up for different reasons.
So we are about out of time, but if we could do two things before we wrap up. One is, if you could give like a brief summary of just the key topics that you're going to cover at the event, and then also, how can people get connected to you and LCAP?
Okay, great. Well, we have chosen to do a half-day event because we want to consolidate this information And we know it can, you know, at times it can be a little heavy. We don't want to overwhelm anyone. So we're going to kick off the event on September 14th at 9 a.m. with a multimedia presentation that's going to be power-packed with just introductions and information that me and the founder of LCAP, Shane Adamson, will present. And it will introduce people to this national conversation, the movements, key people, key information. And then we have Gabe Deem, who's coming down from Dallas. He's a young adult, and he was interviewed in that Time magazine article in 2016. He shares openly about how erectile dysfunction was an experience for him as a result of consuming pornography, and to where there's a growing movement of supporting people that are experiencing that. That really, when they stop the porn use, then they get their regular use back with the real relationships. So it's just a, you know, fascinating information about, oh, this is how this is happening to certain individuals, relationships, families. And then we have, he's also going to talk about the neuroscience. And then Professor Robert Jensen from UT, he has been involved in research and studies for 25 years. He's going to speak to the industry of like the porn production and the realities of how they produce it, what they produce. And then we have a panel of different individuals from segments of society speaking to this. So again, we're not going to waste anyone's time. We're going to keep it moving, just information, and then have breakout groups over lunch for individuals to talk specifically and gather if they're parents and they want to be with other parents, if they're faith leaders and want to be with other faith leaders, if they're millennials, or if they're... and I'm forgetting the last one, maybe educators. I forget. We picked four different groups that we're going to break into. So website is lonestarco.org.
Okay.
That's our conference website. And registration can happen through the website. If anyone is with an organization that's involved in these movements, they can become an exhibitor or a sponsor. Everything's on the website.
Okay. And then how can people get connected with you and what you're doing?
Sure.
Personally, or with your professional site.
Right. Well, and my bio and link to my personal page is on the Lone Star Co. website as well. My website's GinaK.info, and that'll connect people with me.
Okay. Well, Gina, thanks again for being on the program again and just being such an encouragement to us and to so many people who are just trying to find answers for all of these very heavy and oftentimes confusing questions surrounding addiction and recovery and wholeness really in life. So thanks for being on the program again.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And listeners, of course, we're always glad that you're with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.